Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. And today we are really excited because we are bringing you our first rom-com. But before we get to that, here is a question for you, Jessica. Are you ready?
Yes.
What's the most ridiculous place you've pulled out a romance novel to sneak in a few pages? The waiting room, the carpool line, family dinner?
Probably a carpool line.
That is living crazy. I'm trying to think, but do you read on your Kindle on your phone?
No, unless it's the only way to get a book. I'm usually
have the actual physical book. Yeah. So I tend to have a physical book going and an ebook going. So if it's an ebook, I will anywhere I have my phone that I have to sit and wait, I will have it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of like any really ridiculous place that I've read my book.
No. Yeah. I mean,
so.
Yeah.
I would love to know. So those of you listening, if you have some crazy place that you have read a book, drop it in the comments because we would love to hear about that for sure. All right. We are going to dive into Some Like It Scott by Pepper Basham. Again, it's our first rom-com, so this was interesting while we were reading it, kind of the texting going back and forth on these books. So, all right. She lives her life on the fly. His heart is double knotted to home. Can two different souls create a different life together? Popular travel writer and podcaster Katie Campbell roams the world collecting other people's stories. She's built a career as Miss Adventure, known for saying yes to anything new, country, food, or experience, and predictably finding those adventures taking a downward turn into misadventures. Offered the chance to explore her ancestral roots through a 3-week Edwardian experience, Katie finds herself immersed in the beauty and eccentricity of Scotland. In her period attire, with traditional foods and activities, the opportunities for misadventures are endless, especially with the presence of a maniacal macaw, a jealous co-worker, and an all-too-surly Scotsman. Reclusive and protective Graham McCarrow. I had a trouble with his name. Let me try that again. Reclusive and protective Graham McCarrow doesn't venture far from his island home. His comfort zone has always been family, and after his sister's death, he's even more determined to save the McCarrow ancestral home and keep those he loves close. The sudden intrusion of a 6'1" American lass, famous for her traveling misfortunes, was far from his plan. As this world of folklore community and woodworkers and kilts tempts Katie to discover her own story, could this one grand series of misadventures lead her directly to where she belongs? And would a settled-in Scot ever risk loosening his grip on what's familiar to allow a wanderlust rider a home in his heart? But maybe home and the future isn't quite what either one imagined it would be. Maybe home is less about a place and more about a person. Okay, I struggled with the names, so I'm not sure that I said his name right in there. But I also loved at the beginning of the book, she had a glossary of Scottish terms.
Yeah.
Did you find yourself going back to those very often?
Yes, sometimes. I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you know? Every now and then I would flip back, but for the most part I feel like you could pick up on the context clues and figure out what they mean. But
I probably only did it 3 or 4 times just like to see. Yeah.
All right. I do have to ask, because she is 6'1". Her height and like her size are a big thing in the book. Like it plays a big role in the plot line, right? So I would say that we're on the shorter average to short size, okay, when it comes to height. So have you ever wished you were as tall as Katie?
Only if I needed to read something up high. Like, you know, you ever at the store?
Oh, yeah.
Or somewhere, and you're on your tippy toes and can't reach it?
Yeah, do you ever step on the bottom shelf to, like, get yourself up there and get
Yes, which is a big no-no, but, you know, if nobody's around.
I know.
Yes. I do, but not all the time, because that's 6'1 is really tall for a woman.
Yeah.
And I would probably feel really awkward.
So I would agree. When I was younger, I used to be like so excited that I grew a shoe size. And now I'm so happy that I'm just an average shoe size. Like, I don't want big feet. Yeah. I don't want to be super tall. But after reading, like, she struggles with her being so tall and just kind of like a big bone girl. So after reading that, would you still want to be tall like her? Or are you good with where you're at?
I'm good where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. I am too.
Especially with her and the dresses. I felt bad.
I know.
It was like, it's not her fault, but you know,
So I totally lost my train of thought now. Oh, I was going to ask you about the whole like trying to get to that top shelf piece. Have you ever wanted something on the top shelf, but all the front ones are taken and it's the very one in the back? Do you ever get it?
Sometimes I try. Not always. If I can't reach it, but sometimes I try to grab like something, like another one, and try to knock it.
I've done that too. And then I'm like, I would have a misadventure like her. Sometimes I'm like, oh, forget it. I will just try to get it next time I'm here. But could just go get an employee and ask him for help. But, you know.
I did that when I was shopping with Jennifer from work. We needed spray paint. And I wanted yellow, and I wanted this one yellow, but it was too far back.
Yeah.
But luckily, there was an employee because I grabbed some other yellow, and I'm like, wait, let me see. And he grabbed it. But a lot of times, it's hard to find an employee. So
it is. Yeah. I just had that the other day. I think there was only one person working in that store. So I felt bad for him. But anyways. Yeah. All right. So one of the things, the misadventure, she's called that because she has so many accidents. She is incredibly clumsy and accident prone. Right? Like even, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Graham is like, I think death haunts you. Like it's on
every
your
every time she turned around,
heel.
She was in something.
Some perilous situation.
Yes.
So if you had to endure one of her clumsy moments yourself, which one would it be and why? And can you relate to her clumsiness? So I'm going to just read through a list of some of the clumsy scenes. I didn't even get them all. There are just so many things that go wrong. So soaking her shoes in that huge puddle. Nearly drowning. Getting the fishing hook caught in her hair. The bird coming, swooping in and taking her hairpiece. Well, not hairpiece. There was like a, what did she have? Some beads or something in her hair, like a decorative thing. Falling from the stairs. The dinner table debacle where she ends up with on the floor with all this food all over her. Or falling over the cliff edge.
Which one would I pick?
Yeah. If you had to endure one of those moments, which one would it be?
Probably soaking her shoes in a huge puddle.
Yeah, that was probably the least. But it was like this girl on this bike was like, get out of the way.
And they know her from the town. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I really liked her yellow wellies. Because I like the color yellow. And I'm like, I want a pair of those.
Yeah, but didn't they also have flowers on them?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, you just like the yellow. Yeah.
But that's probably the least from getting hurt. Yeah, messy from all of those.
I would agree. I've already done the falling down the stairs piece, and honestly, her fall seemed far less painful than mine.
Yeah.
So I mean, still, stepping in a huge puddle is way better than any of the others. The fishing hook thing, I could handle that. Yeah. Get it out of my hair.
Mom would be terrified of the bird.
Oh, my word. She would have. And she read the book, but she couldn't come here to talk about it. And I am curious how she reacted to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So for those you that don't know, our mother joins us once in a while. And she is deathly afraid of birds. I mean, she petrified of them because she was flogged by a rooster when she was like 5 years old. She hates all birds now.
The most scary ones on here is the drowning one.
Yeah.
And falling over the cliff edge. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with those two.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the cliff edge thing was one of those big old cows. What do they call those cows with the long hair again?
It
will come to me
later.
But one of those like basically rushed her and she fell off. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, because every time like Graham somehow rescues her out of most of these situations. Okay.
I can relate to her because I fell down Mom and Dad's outside steps.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone has to fall down the stairs at least once in their life.
Like, I knocked Mom's planters off. I think I probably broke my tailbone. And then at work last year,
I fell
out there and broke my big toe.
Man, you're worse than I am. I've fallen, but I've never broken
anything.
But,
you know, Sarah fell and broke something. You're lucky you haven't broke anything. She broke her ankle at work.
Oh, that's right.
She slipped and fell on water or snow or ice. Something in the building and fell. And
I consider myself very blessed that I have not had a single broken bone.
Yeah.
And we'll just continue to pray that that remains true.
I'm surprised you haven't ended up in the water while you're mowing on the hill.
I don't mow anymore.
But I mean, when you did, I don't know how you stayed
upright.
I
have slipped a few times. But really, the key is if I was really going down, I'd just let the mower go not let myself get drug in there. But thankfully, that never happened either. My worst thing probably was the stairs when I was like 10. And that is because I fell head first, arms stretched out. You guys all laughing because you said I look like Superman flying down the stairs. But I can remember my ribs hitting every step. And it was just I'm surprised I didn't crack a rib on that, you know? Every step beat my ribs and I was like, oh, and then I landed on my head, which is probably what's wrong with me, right? I just remember popping up really fast.
What were you wearing on your feet that made you?
I was wearing Mom's snow boots.
That were
And
too
they tripped me up because they were too big. But I just remember popping up real fast because she had literally just yelled at all of us about not running up and down the stairs. And I was like, I wasn't running. I swear I wasn't running. I thought I was going to get in trouble. Yeah. And Mom was like freaking out. somehow I survived. So, yeah, I can really, really relate to her because my younger years, I was a total klutz. I feel like I'm not as bad now. Although
I feel like we're kind of klutzy.
I hear my husband laughing in the other side of the room. So something tells me he thinks otherwise, which is probably true because that man catches me all the time and keeps me from falling. That's probably why I've never had a broken bone. Maybe. He's always around to catch me, I feel like.
I don't know if I would catch you. Well, it just depends.
Well, you don't love me like he does, so.
I might like let you fall, laugh, and be like, are you okay? And then help you get up.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would do.
I mean, think about it. People usually look pretty funny when they're falling. Like they're like grabbing for air. Right?
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, unless you like fell over the cliff or something, I wouldn't laugh.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That wouldn't be funny because when she fell off the cliff, I was like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Highland cattle. That's what it is. Thank you, Derek. No one can see the man behind the curtain that helps us out. That's my husband. He's awesome. All right. What would you do if you were served pig heart at a fancy dinner like she was?
Wouldn't eat it. I would not eat it. That's just the bottom line.
I read that scene and I was gagging.
Yeah. I was like, that's gross. Why?
is considered a delicacy back then. They're trying to recreate the Edwardian experience.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, it was gross. Mm-hmm. And it caused a problem at the dinner table anyway. So very, very funny. Lots of funny things happening here. All right, so Graham has many knight in shining armor moments. Which one was your favorite and why? So let me read through these a little bit. He catches Katie as she falls from the stairs. He's her dance partner because she's like taller than I think everybody else that's in this experience thing with her. He saves her from drowning. He is ready to protect her from Mark, the little jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And he helps her catch the bird that takes off with her beads or whatever from her hair. And then he literally rides a white horse to her rescue on the cliff. So which one was your favorite and why?
I liked him being her dance partner.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
That was very sweet.
Yeah. And they were really good as dance partners.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I liked them all, but if I had to have, I have my top three. Here's my top three. Catching her from falling from the stairs. I think because I can relate. I've done that before. Mm-hmm. Nobody caught me. It would be nice if someone were to catch you before your ribs took a beating down the stairs. I didn't have my Derek back then, so.
No, you just had sisters.
Yeah. I had five sisters who stood there and laughed the entire time. That's okay. I would have laughed at you, too.
I know.
I loved him saving her from drowning when he gets in there and then when he just hauls her up the ladder like she didn't weigh anything. Mm-hmm. And he made her feel so dainty, which she's never really felt in her life because she is so tall.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And then I loved him riding that horse to her rescue because it was like, and I think Pepper Basham did a really good job of writing, like, you realize that's a pretty cliche thing. And she just made it quite humorous because she was like, am I imagining this? Is he seriously riding a white horse out here to rescue me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved his nephew, by the way. I thought he was the cutest little boy
and
ever.
And the little dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was cute.
Cute, too. So, I mean, when you hear that, this is our first rom-com. So some of this stuff, I was like, almost too Hallmarky for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Pepper does it so well because she brings in the humor with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of takes the edge off the Hallmarky. Now, some people like Hallmark, and that's totally okay. Do you enjoy Hallmark?
I've watched them in the past. I do like them because they're clean and just a good family show to watch.
Yeah, they're predictable, you know. They're more of a comfy, like a comfort, almost like mac and cheese is a comfort food.
Yeah. So sometimes if you just want something that you just need, like the comfort, like the mac and cheese.
Get away from the craziness of
life.
Yeah,
you can just watch that. And they do have some good ones on there. So.
Yeah, I can't get into them because they're just too predictable, which is why we have suspense on this podcast because I'm more into that.
Yes.
A little bit more. I don't know. Something to hold me. Or a mystery. I really need a good mystery. Mm-hmm. So anyways. All right. So Katie struggles to feel good enough because her mother's always wanting her to be like her sister who passed away, which her sister was a dainty. She was much smaller than. Much smaller than Katie. So what did you think about that mother-daughter relationship? And did you like how Graham and his family helped her overcome those insecurities?
I felt bad for her because her mom was just so insensitive. Mm-hmm. Like, not supportive at all.
Right.
And had nothing positive to say to her. Like, blamed her for everything that she got herself into.
And telling her, pink's your favorite color. She goes, no, that was Sarah's favorite color. That was not mine.
Yeah.
And yes, it is. And, like, I also loved, like, the complete contrast between how Katie's family dealt with the loss of a child or and sibling, you know, parent mm-hmm. and everything, that dynamic, and how Graham's family dealt with the loss. Like, he lost his sister, too,
mm-hmm.
and how his parents dealt with it and he mm-hmm. dealt with it. Two very different approaches.
Yeah, because even her dad couldn't take what her mom was doing and kind of just...
And didn't they divorce and...
Did they divorce? No,
or
she...
Or maybe he just...
He kind of just went and just kind of... Because she has a brother she's close to.
Yeah.
Which I was glad about that.
Yeah.
But that kind of...
Yeah.
Because she wasn't supportive of her son either because he wanted to do...
Artsy stuff.
And she didn't think he could make a living out of that. So
yeah, because they're also part of like the rich part mm-hmm. of society mm-hmm. here in America. So she was like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because wasn't her dad a pastor?
No. What? No.
No? Okay.
Mm-mm, he was a businessman, but he just kind of pulled away from mm-hmm. the whole family and just did his own thing. So I love, love, love Graham's family. They're just like, this warm, loving, taking people in.
Mm-hmm.
I loved them. So Katie struggles, you know, with that dynamic with her mom and all the insecurities that come with being a woman and being tall and all of that. Graham struggles with fully releasing everything to God because of the loss of his sister. Because remember, he felt like he should have been able
mm-hmm.
to help her, save her. Like, he has some guilt there. And was it his twin sister?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, he wants everything under his control, basically. Can you relate to his struggle to release? And what did you like about how Katie helped him overcome that obstacle?
I can struggle with the release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To just
mm-hmm.
let it go. Like, mm-hmm. trust that God's going to take care of it.
And I don't think I have.
You feel like you've been able to handle that pretty well?
No.
Oh, you mean you can't let go?
Mm-hmm.
It is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you've gone through a loss like that of someone so close to you.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to control everything and make sure that everybody else that mm-hmm. you love and is going to be okay. And
I think that's why I want the kids to stay with me.
Yeah.
Because they're right there.
Yeah. And you can make sure, okay, they're okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I do love how she helped because, like, again, it's humorous,
mm-hmm.
all the predicaments she gets into.
Yeah.
But she kind of just helps him, like, you just got to go with the flow and it'll be okay.
Yeah, because at first they didn't know about the loss between each other.
Right.
And then when they did, it kind of...
It helped her go, okay, you've got to... let loose,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then he also helped her realize, like, you don't have to be like your sister. Your mom is not treating you the way she should, you know,
like he
really helped her overcome those insecurities too. Any messages of faith that stood out to you that you really enjoyed?
I'm trying to remember. I can't think of anything right now.
I think kind of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
It's this whole things are going to happen that we don't like and mm-hmm. that are awful, awful to go through. And we are going to want control. That's just the way it is. We mm-hmm. want to go, okay, God, no. And we just want to mm-hmm. take it back. But what we have to remember is that his plans are good. And we cannot fully fathom or understand, you know, why this had to happen. Like, I just think about the losses that they went through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did that have to happen? But there is a His plan is perfect. And because he's God, we're never going to get our heads wrapped around it. We just have to fully trust that he has our best interest in mind.
But the why is hard.
It is so hard.
Like, I think, why?
Yeah.
In my situation, it makes me mad.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad, especially for the kids.
Yeah.
And because I don't understand.
Right. And that's a legit, normal
reaction
because mm-hmm. we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fully understand
because I don't see, like, he does everything he has good, but I don't see the good in what happened. I really don't.
In that loss.
That loss, because I see how my kids struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And poor Sammy, he, you know, more than once said, I wish he was here. I have so many questions for him.
Yeah.
what do you do with that? Like, yeah. You know, I mean.
That's tough.
You have uncles, but it's not the same.
And he has dad, grandpa for him. Yeah. That's kind of odd calling dad grandpa.
Because he'll call him Papa, and I'm like, Papa, well, no, dad. Like, I'm like,
you start calling him Papa.
Yeah, I'm like, well, dad for me is Papa to you.
And I feel like dad's done a really good job of teaching him a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then at Easter, him and Ron sitting there for hours talking cars. Oh, this engine and that, you know.
It made me think of Kenny. I was like, I think that's all they talked about. And that's
Am I right, Derek? Is that all they talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Because Derek was sitting there, too, on that. But
yeah.
That's a guy thing, I think. Well, especially for them. They all love their cars. And
oh, and Sammy comes home and tells me this and that. Don't get this. Don't get that. Well, he's telling me the Blazer. And I said, they have this really I thought it was a Blazer in the showroom. I said, I love that green. And he went in the showroom. He goes, Mom, that was a Trax. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't want a Trax. But I said, isn't it pretty, the green? You know, it's a really pale light green that was really pretty. But
yeah,
he thinks he knows what vehicle I should get.
Of course. He's the mechanic now.
Yes.
I love that he's been able to go right out of high school, right into the job that he loves. Yeah, like, yeah. It's going to be fun to watch him grow in that career.
And he's like a salesman, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Mom, you need this. You don't need third row. You don't need the Traverse is too big.
Do not let him talk you out of third row seating.
I know.
Because things come up where you really could have used the third row seating.
Yeah.
So don't let him talk you out of that. And you can send him to me if he has questions.
Okay, I will.
Say, talk to your Aunt Melissa. All right. Rapid fire questions because these are fun. Oh, I forgot. One more question. Is there anything you took away from the book, or how did it make you feel when you finished the book?
At first, I kind of struggled to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's a bad book. It's just not something we normally read.
Yeah.
I was really struggling. But when I got into it, it was just a good, fun read.
It was.
It was just a relaxing fun because I'm like, what she got herself into now?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
It's just one of those you walk away just feeling like renewed, warm, fuzzy feelings. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. All right, these are rapid fire.
Ooh, I'm ready for these.
Are you ready for these? Okay, here we go. Hardback or paperback?
Paperback.
I go hardback.
Mm-hmm.
Dog ear or bookmark?
Bookmark.
Yes, bookmark. Do not mess the pages up. Library or buy?
Library. Unless I need it right away, I'll buy it. But library.
I go buy. Well, you should see how many books I have. It's ridiculous. New release or backlist?
Backlist.
I'd go both. I like both. Series or standalone?
Both.
And I'm more of a series girl. Happy cry or sad cry?
Happy cry.
I like both. Sometimes it's okay to sad cry. I'm not a crier, though, so. Read the blurb or go in blind?
Read the blurb.
I go in blind.
Oh, wow.
Most of the time. Every now and then I'll read the blurb. Morning reader or night owl?
Night owl.
Yeah, I'm a night owl too. Yeah, I'm going to go night owl. Mainly because work schedule doesn't allow me to read in the morning.
Me too. So.
Do you read bath or bed?
Bed.
Yeah, I'm in bed too because... You're going to think I'm weird. I don't enjoy soaking in a tub.
I don't take baths. I don't take baths. I just don't do that. So
she doesn't even know you. She's clean. I promise.
I like showers. Even though I have a soaker tub.
Like, somebody might hear that and go, oh my gosh. She doesn't.
I take showers and I do have a soaker tub, but I'm just not one to sit in the tub.
Now, if I had a separate soaker tub, I might do it. Like when we, you know, rent. For vacations and they have that. I use it every now and then, but it's just not my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not relaxing to me, but. All right. Silence or music?
Silence.
Yes.
And that's why it's hard for me to read sometimes in waiting rooms or stuff when people are talking or the TV's going. I can't concentrate.
So
even though
I can do it.
Yeah.
The problem is, and Derek will agree with me here, is once I get into that book, like once everything gets tuned out, everything's tuned out and I won't even hear you talking to me because I'm in the book.
See, me, I'm like...
But my preference is silence.
What did I just read? I gotta go back and read that. Because you hear this and you hear that and this and that. So I try to take a book with me, but I usually... It's kind of a lost cause.
Yeah, I mean, just the other... Just yesterday, I was doing something and he was like, hello, I'm talking to you. Like, oh, sorry.
Maybe I don't want to talk to you.
I did. I just didn't hear him. All right, you ready to rate?
Yeah.
Do our ratings? Okay, so for anyone who's new to the podcast or the show.
Oops.
I'm sorry. Jessica just hit the stand that the cameras are on and they shook a little bit. My apologies there for her. Keep your feet away from the stand.
I'm not used to sitting on this side.
All right. If you're new to the show, for our ratings, we do like a coffee rating, but really we just match the names to what we wanted. So an espresso means there's very little. A mocha means there's a medium amount.
Mm-hmm.
And a latte obviously means there's a lot of it. Okay. And then when we get to our overall lasso rating, we like to use three lassos as our highest. So if you get one lasso, that's a throw and a miss. If you do two lassos, that's a throw and a hook. And three lassos, you're hooked and hogtied. All right, you ready? What was the mystery level?
Espresso.
Yeah, I don't even know if it even makes it to espresso because it's not really meant to be a mystery. And suspense, same way.
Yeah,
this is a rom-com, so maybe our scale doesn't fit the rom-com because it's our first rom-com we've ever done. Inspiration level?
Mocha?
I would go mocha, too. I think she does a really good job of weaving that in. Drama?
Espresso?
You want espresso?
Well...
I feel like this is, like, mocha to latte because it is more drama-driven.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
When you think about her strained relationship with her mother and then... Graham's issues that he's dealing with.
Yeah.
And then you throw all of her clumsiness in there on top of it.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, mocha de latte. Yeah.
How about the romance?
Mocha de latte?
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd probably go espresso to mocha.
What's a rom-com? But what I guess there wasn't a lot of romance.
There is. I mean, you can have varying levels of romance in a rom-com.
I would probably say mocha.
Yeah. Okay. We can both settle on mocha. That's good. Overall lasso rating?
2.
I am leaning towards a 3. I mean, it took me a little bit to get into it because like we said, we typically don't do rom-coms.
Like a 2 to 2.5. I mean, because it did take me a while to get through this book and get into it.
Yeah. But. I think because I can connect and relate to Katie so much that I was like, yes, I loved it. All right. Well, that wraps up our very first rom-com here on the Literary Escape podcast. And it was kind of a delightful detour, wasn't it? We hope you enjoyed this change of pace as much as we did. And if you've read some, oops, as I smacked my microphone, sorry. If you've read some Like It Scott, see how I'm like Katie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm making all kinds of classy stuff.
Well, I kind of, I hit your camera stand, so.
We would love to hear your thoughts on, did it make you laugh? Did it make you swoon? Drop us a comment. You can put comments on our website because we have a blog post for each episode. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we would love, love, love to hear your thoughts on Some Like It Scott. And then next week, we're going to return to the world of contemporary Christian suspense romance, and finally, and I mean finally, we are going to get to the third book in Lynn H. Blackburn's Gossamer Falls series, Last to Fall. And we covered the first two books, I think, last year in book club. And we have been waiting for Mo and Brownwin's, I can't say her name right, Brownwin's story.
Isn't it? Or her nickname, Beep.
They call her Beep. So if you've been waiting for that one, so have we. And I have a feeling most of you have probably already read it just like us. But you're not going to miss that discussion because we finally get to wrap up that series. And then before we let you go, just want to make sure that you've heard about our book club. I'm so excited about our book club. It's our little corner of the internet where we get to slow down and go deeper and actually talk with you about the books that we are reading for the podcast. It's just $7 a month and or $70 for the year, and you get access to exclusive member benefits. And the best part is the more our community grows, the more those benefits expand. We have some pretty cool goals. You can go to literaryscape.com, click on the book club link up at the top to learn more about those milestone goals and what you get as a reader. And we sincerely hope you become part of our book club so that we can connect with you. And until next time, happy and blessed reading. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.